Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lottie.
And we are wide awake, sort of. Maybe we're not, I don't know. Friends, welcome back. We are talking about Bad Batch Season 2, Episode 3, The Solitary Clone. And it's not who you think. You think when this starts off, it's going to be Crosshair. I thought he was in, like, solitary confinement. I thought he was just chilling out in this prison cell, but no. When we first start off, by the way, spoilers, we're spoiling the whole episode. We're talking right about it. We're going to get right into it. He is literally, he's back. He is back with the Imperials. And this might as well have been a whole big, like, I don't know, tribute to the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it was so, this was basically clone troopers versus battle droids.
Yeah.
The whole thing. And now, just to refresh, folks, Lottie has not seen all of the Clone Wars. You've only seen the final season
with Ahsoka. You showed me a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last
Darth
couple
Maul.
Of episodes. Yeah, that
right.
was great. Yeah,
right.
That was really good. Oh yeah. My goodness. Loved that. Yeah.
So just I guess we want to do a couple of refreshers at the beginning for folks who might want to remember who some of these characters are. And then we can kind of drive forward with conversations, cool connections throughout the series. You had questions about Dooku, so whenever you're ready, bring those questions up and the Separatist and what's going on, whether or not you would let your future child watch this. we can even start there. This was a little, not violent, but I mean, this had some darker tones too than the Clone Wars because it's a little bit more... You know, this is just, they're aging with this,
yes.
Sort of.
I know.
I'm.
I was gonna try and start. You know, there's a lot of good things I can say about this episode because I really liked it.
Yeah.
The only thing that came to my mind, and we're not even parents yet, but it has rating TV PG. That means anyone can watch it, right?
Parental guidance.
Okay, so you yeah. Okay, so there's no official rating, and people are gonna roll their eyes at me and be like, "Oh my goodness, what?" I'm just saying that this is very deep stuff, and if you take away the fact that it's an animated show and replace it with actual actors, this would not be PG. Just saying, and. But the animation looks more and more realistic now. And I get it. I just looked it up. Lots of times they started, especially in the Clone Wars, I heard they started same thing, PG, and then they later put a rating on it.
Right, right.
But just saying nowadays, they release it quicker than the audience grows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would say with the Harry Potter movies, for example, we had time to grow into, like, they're not even, it's a you know, it's a movie series. It's a bad comparison, but we had time to grow up during, you know, between the first and the last movie. And I'm just saying it's a...
It's got serious tones.
It's a lot of stuff you need to think about. And I mean, the what's her name is shot in the end, and that's the whole point.
The like, governor, yeah. So they end up assassinating, you know, killing her.
Very intense battle scenes and the sharpshooting and stuff. That was interesting and well done. I mean, that's what I want to say. Well done, guys. This is. It feels good. It, the art looks good. The lighting.
Yeah.
I remember when I told you in his office.
Yeah.
And this guy just turned his lights on in his office.
Turn a light on, buddy. Geez. Admiral Rampart in the beginning when you come in there. Yeah. So, no, I get you. And it, so, one of the reasons why people like Clone Wars so well is it's the animation's really great.
Yes.
It's really good. And that's part of the thing with the rating sometimes. It's like so, because it is animated, it's cartoon, whatever, it's less real, but and they I bet you George Lucas was intentional on this when he's thinking about I made this for kids. They are clone troopers, so it feels sci-fi anyways there because they're clones, but they're fighting battle droids,
right,
which are
not real people.
Not and really alive and stuff, but in Star Wars the droids are alive though, and that's the thing. Is that you love like R2 and C-3PO, and if they were, what happens if they were, you know, destroyed?
I know, right?
Like,
just because the just because the battle droids are not as smart and bright, does that mean we can just all shoot them and they were made for it? Like, those are deeper topics.
I know. And that's what you see, but as you get older and on the surface level, when you first as a kid watching it, it's just like, same thing. You know, we hand, like, I mean, the other day, my nephew, I walked in the back door and he's like, pew, pew. You know, like he was like, boom, he got me. You know, I know, but like then as you grow up, it's in all of our movies and TV, and it's all about action and saving people, and then how do you use the weapons that you have? How do you use force? When's it appropriate? When's it not? There's a lot of good political stuff in this, actually. There was really good stuff in terms of, I think, let me figure out what her name was. This governor was really kind of challenging, I think, everybody in terms of the political state of the galaxy, and that they were a separatist state, so therefore they've never been a part of the empire, and she felt like that should sort of continue. So that was definitely interesting, and she captures the governor who comes in to replace her. So what is his name, Groton or something like that, is the governor who comes in, which kind of surprises me that they just, this is the planet Desix is where we're at, and we get into this. Yeah, like they're an old separatist colony, whatever, they planet system. They have the battle droids, the B1s. They've reactivated those. The droid Dakars were in this. They had a tactical droid, all of those things. So they're definitely aligned to Count Dooku and all of his plans and his aspirations. So they just send this governor in there thinking, we're good. He's going to roll in and be able to take over.
Yeah.
And she's basically saying there's nothing peaceful about this transition.
Yeah.
She said that Dooku was right in the end. He knew that the Republic was corrupt and that they actually would collapse and become something far worse.
Yeah.
So she's quoting him there and thinking about the Galactic Empire. And you had a question about Dooku, didn't you? You were kind of wondering, what was your question about him? Yeah.
So he was leading the separatist movement, but he is also in contact with Palpatine, right? So
yes.
Was he just believe in the separatists really, or was he just because it was just his war to gain control, right?
Right. Yeah.
But he did Dooku know about that? Why would he then be so into the separatist movement?
Right. So he basically, I mean, was sort of the way I look at it is he left the Jedi Order for certain reasons. He started to disagree with the Jedi Order.
Mm-hmm.
He disagreed with how close they were with the Senate and how close they were with the Republic. So he leaves the Order and he starts to, he was always kind of curious about the dark arts and he was always curious about Sith artifacts and wanted to study different aspects of the Force.
Right.
So he falls to the dark side essentially, and he works with Palpatine.
Mm-hmm.
He works, Darth Sidious. Becoming his apprentice then means he's going to work as his puppet on the other side. So because he truly is, in a, like his master is Darth Sidious.
Yeah.
So therefore he does what his master orders him to do. And if that is to, you know, Because a part of me thinks he does believe a little bit in this cause. Mm-hmm. He's very persuasive.
Yeah.
Very good at persuading systems to join his cause and everything. And even when he talks to Obi-Wan in episode 2, and he has Obi-Wan imprisoned. This is in full-on episode 2 when they're on Geonosis, and Obi-Wan's trying to figure out the cloners in the Kamino. He tracks down Jango Fett. So he shows up there, and it's basically like he tells him flat out, you and the council, the Jedi, are being deceived. He tells him right there, I wish Qui-Gon were with me. It's almost like he doesn't really want to serve Palpatine or Darth Sidious. He wants to overthrow him.
Okay.
And he wants to start his own order. He's misguided in his own beliefs and thinking that he knows more. He has seen how the Jedi have become sort of pawns or puppets of the Senate, and they, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So he tells Obi-Wan right there that Palpatine, that the Dark Lord of the Sith has control of the Senate, essentially.
Yeah. Wow.
And you guys are working for him. And he's like, I don't believe you. We would know. The Jedi would know. And it's like, Obi-Wan, there you go. You've just fallen into the trap, which is that the Jedi believed that the Force would guide them, that they could not be that naive or that I guess, deceived by the dark side or by some Sith Lord, that he would be right in front of their very faces.
Yeah.
They couldn't accept that. There's no way. Yeah. So they're blind to what's happening. But Dooku then takes over the Separatist movement.
Okay.
And people know he's a former Jedi. He's also from royalty there on Sereno. He had his palace. His family ruled there.
Yeah, I was going to say, his name is being dropped a lot.
He's one of the few. He's one of the few who actually knew his parents and his heritage. He figures out where he's from and that he's descended from royalty. I think his father, essentially, once he finds out that Dooku's force sensitive, turns him over to the Jedi, thinks it scares him a little bit that he's force sensitive, and so there's this weird sort of dynamic there. His siblings will reach back out to him. It's in the it's in an audio drama called Dooku. I think it's Dooku. Is it Dooku Lost or something? I gotta look that up. But anyways, really, really great. We can actually listen to that at some point because you learn a lot about Dooku there.
Yeah.
And that's why the Tales of the Jedi was so cool, because you learn even more about him there. Yeah, it's called Dooku Jedi Lost. And he starts to interact with his apprentice, Asajj Ventress, who you know very little about because she's in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
She is basically who fights Anakin and Obi-Wan for Dooku a lot.
Okay.
So a lot of times they're fighting Dooku, Grievous, Asajj Ventress. And so she's someone who, I will pull a picture up here and show this to a lot. This is where we're getting through the Clone Wars, friends. We're working through. But for me, I think it's a good recap. I like doing these recaps where we go back over, you know, who's who and who was working for who and what was all going on.
Right.
Because they've done a really good job in the prequels of creating complexity.
Yeah.
And on the surface, selling you like Dooku's here and Palpatine's there, but really they're on the same team.
Right.
And when you're younger, as you get older, you start to realize all the complexities and what was really happening. So one of the things that the Kaminoans sell the Republic on is that clones can think for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And in this, we get that whole thing, you know, good soldiers follow orders. But then what's the difference between the battle droids and the clones?
Yeah.
And who do you really want working for you? And I think one of the big themes coming out of this is that the clones have now turned into, because of Order 66, because of the chip and that control factor, they now have turned into droids.
Yeah.
Right? They are now simply just like supposed to be. Take these orders, go do these things, etc. Except for at the end of this episode, Admiral Rampart is realizing, hey, what's up? More and more of these guys are going AWOL. Like they're leaving. They're abandoning their post and they're turning. So what's the deal? And the deal is that the mind, the reasoning and whatever, it's starting to sort of go against that chip and that order and say, I don't know if that was right.
Yeah.
And because of these experiences, and like you said, the seriousness at the end with this governor.
Yeah.
And they free their governor.
Right.
And they offered peace and said, hey, for your people, surrender. Come in as a political prisoner, whatever it might be. And literally that governor at the end is like, execute her.
Right. After he was captured for probably days.
Yeah.
What's wrong with him?
It shows you the weakness in a different side of the Empire. That wasn't there during the Republic. They would have, if that had that have been like a senator, had that have been Padme or someone else, they would have said, take this person prisoner, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. give them a trial, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's just not the Empire's just boom, eliminate. I mean, Admiral Rampart in the last episode, you're seeing it. He shoots first. I mean, he's basically just sort of like, no, if you're not going to change the report, it was Wilcox or whatever his name, Wilco. Brand new guy. That guy was definitely following orders and was trying to do by the book what is right. And he was, even when you're doing, even when they're following orders and they're doing things that are correct in the right way, they're disposed of.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't fit the narrative that these commanders want, then they're offed.
Yeah.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. So the big one, let's talk about Commander Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the one I think that people are going to be like freaking out about a little bit.
Yeah.
Commander Cody is in this, and I was telling you that in Order 66, during that time, he gets the order.
Yeah.
And he's with the 222nd. They are there supporting Obi-Wan on his mission. They turn, they find Obi-Wan, and they shoot him down.
Yeah.
And he survives.
Yeah.
But it's so crazy because Obi-Wan, and you can see this throughout the Clone Wars, had such a good relationship with Commander Cody. And to see that just switch, flip... And him just completely execute that order shows you how tough that was.
Yeah.
And I think there was, when you look at Captain Rex, same thing, right? And because Ahsoka is there and she has the ability to help him remove that, I mean, he resists a little bit more. Like there's subtle little hesitations and he has a closeness with her that's maybe a little bit more, I think he's a little bit closer, Captain Rex anyways, to Ahsoka than Commander Cody is to Obi-Wan, perhaps. And that's sort of Anakin's doing. Anakin was all about those relationships and he was more personal, whereas Obi-Wan tried to adhere to the Jedi way and no attachments, etc. So I think that does influence Ahsoka and Rex in their situation versus like Commander Cody still has a fondness. He's still close and admires Obi-Wan, but it's not the same as what was going on with the 501st and Anakin. So that was crazy. The big rumor when we watched the Obi-Wan Kenobi series over the summer was that Commander Cody, the guy who executes Order 66 on Obi-Wan, that he and Obi-Wan were going to find each other. That actually Commander Cody was on Tatooine and that they had somehow reconnected and were either training together, and that Commander Cody was teaching him essentially how to not use the Force but go undetected, and how to be stealthy and how to do hand to hand. Like Cody would jump him in an alley, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, like when you first see that Cody is fighting Obi-Wan and he's trying to finish, you know, executing Order 66, but then you see the scar and he's removed his chip and he's working with Obi-Wan to protect Luke.
Yeah.
Like the big debate back then was, what would cause Obi-Wan to leave Tatooine? He's guarding the Chosen One's child.
Yeah.
Why in the world would he leave Tatooine? And the only thing that would take him there would be another one of the Chosen One's children, you know, which was Leia.
Yeah.
But then who do you leave to protect,
you
know, Luke? And they went with Uncle Owen because they wanted to make him more important, etc. But I really like the idea of bringing in Commander Cody. It's super creative in saying, no, I found this guy who is actually someone I ironically was executing Order 66 on me.
Right.
But I have figured, I don't blame the clones for that.
Yeah.
They were manipulated, controlled. We all were deceived.
Right.
And then, so he uses him to protect Luke, which would have been awesome. I think that would have been really cool. I like the way that it went. I still like the Obi-Wan the Kenobi series a lot. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I just think that would have been crazy to see a deep sort of Clone Wars connection and see this, because they have Temuera Morrison who plays Boba Fett.
Yeah.
That is the guy who played Jango Fett.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he is the model for all of the clones.
Right.
So whenever he shows back up, it's so cool when you see him. Okay. We were watching, I think we were watching the other day. No, maybe I was rewatching The Mandalorian.
Right.
And when Boba Fett shows up and is talking to Bo-Katan, she basically is like, I've heard your voice 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, she had, like, because he's a clone. He's the voice for the clones. And you're like, dang. So. Just really, really, really cool stuff. But Commander Cody, at the end of this, does go AWOL. And The Bad Batch is well before Obi-Wan Kenobi series. It's, again, relatively a year or two after Order 66. So there is potential for maybe Cody to be in, like, an Obi-Wan Kenobi season 2, maybe. We're not sure if they want to do that. I know Hayden and Ewan McGregor want to come back. They want to keep working in that. Big rumor is that Hayden's actually working in the Ahsoka series. So,
ooh.
Yeah, I know, right? That's coming out this spring, yeah. I think. And so he's going to be in that. We're going to see some really interesting stuff. We are killing it, working our way through Rebels. So we'll get you guys updated on that whole conversation and we'll start speculating on Mandalorian Ahsoka. I'm working on it, guys. Like we almost are through season two and we are just blitzing ahead and we're going to do big episodes where we cover sort of things that we that happened there. So
yeah.
Be looking forward to that on the podcast. But the Bad Batch season two, episode three, there was a wall. I don't know if anybody has looked into this and you've gone and looked at the text, the Star Wars text that's on the wall, all the names. It looked like a memorial, didn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of like a wall of remembrance
Cody
or something.
Cody and what's his name, met.
Yeah, where Crosshair and he are meeting. Crosshair. Yeah.
Yeah.
It, because behind them is like a statue of what looks like a clone trooper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, it would make sense, yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of honoring them a little bit there on Coruscant or because they fought the war,
yeah,
right? And they all had numbers. It could just be numbers, but there were letters, names. I don't know. I don't know what the deal was, or if that was people who just lost their life. I don't know what that wall was, but it looked like a wall of remembrance.
Yeah.
So we tried to decipher a few things on there. It didn't work out.
It would make sense because he was looking at.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And contemplating, you know, right? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, contemplating whether or not following Order 66 was a good thing.
Right.
So, yeah, that was a great episode for Cody just to kind of maybe he joins up with the other bad. Because he asked Crosshair, like, I heard about your other brothers. And you guys were always a little different. And those guys went one direction. Crosshair stays. So it's crazy. Another big Easter egg in this and a big sort of drop, and this is one that kind of went over, just because Lottie hasn't seen Clone Wars, I'm going to kind of explain a little bit of this.
Mm-hmm.
But Mina Bonteri was a name that was mentioned by that governor.
Yeah.
So the governor mentions her name and said, I worked with her at one point to try to bring some resolution to the Senate that would bring a peaceful end to the war.
Right.
I tried for peace in this, and it just didn't work. Dooku said it wasn't going to. He was right. So Mina Bonteri actually is a mentor to Padme, and she's in the Clone Wars. I'm just sort of showing Ladia a picture here.
Okay.
But she represented Onderon in the Galactic Senate, and she served as a mentor to Padme Amidala of Naboo. Oh. So just these cool little nuggets that are connecting you back to the Clone Wars. And the Clone Wars is so cool because it does show how important Padme was and how close she was to Anakin and how they all worked together. It was such a, they did such a good job of expanding that time period. And I just, I just think it was really, really important. So from there, I believe, her son, Lux Bonteri, here's an interesting connection for you. Lux Bonteri is he, I forget which season he shows up in, but he's the son of a separatist senator. And during the Clone Wars, he has differing views about things. They moved to Raxus, let me see, where his mother is a member of the Separatist Senate, so she joins the Separatist Senate. Sometime after Onderon joined the Separatists, Bonteri's father, an officer of the Confederacy military, was killed while setting up a base on another planet. Let me see here. He comes across Ahsoka, and that's the... Yeah, here we go. Bonteri and Ahsoka Tano discuss their biases about the Clone Wars. So you talk about war, they talk about politics, and there's a closeness there, actually. They get a little almost not romantic, but a little bit. As close as I think I've seen Ahsoka come to a romantic
relationship. Has a person, you know.
Yeah.
She really, really, really likes. I mean,
right?
I feel like she was always looking up to her master, not in terms of romantic, but just like, as that older brother that she just loves no matter what. And and you can really see that. I mean, we're getting close to the end of season 2 or 3 in Rebels.
In Rebels. Yeah, we're close to the end of season 2.
So she's struggling.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
With her discovery.
Yeah. This is a guy who pops up from time to time. But yeah, he was with Ahsoka for quite a while. So that name, the Bonteri name being dropped was really cool and just an interesting connection to this world. And this whole episode is essentially just about kind of, you know, dealing with the clone troopers and then moving to, they're talking at the beginning about this act where in which you have people who can voluntarily sign up and join the military and join the Empire. And the clones are like, we're going to be out of the job. Yeah. Like these other guys are coming in. What are we going to do? What's our purpose?
Right.
And that's where Crosshair is struggling too with what is his purpose? What's he going to do? Is he just somebody who follows orders? Is that his whole calling, or is there more to life than that? And you just see him. They did a really good job of like paralleling the shots when he wakes up in the morning and he's coming out of like recovery. I think he said it was 32 days he was left stranded on Kamino, and they finally found him. But he was when he's sitting up there in the bed. And then he goes to the cafeteria, and then he goes to Admiral Rampart.
Right.
At the end, it's the exact same thing. Yeah. He wakes up in the bed, goes to the cafeteria, goes to Rampart, and it's just like that's his every single day.
Right, new and you mission. Even see other troopers moving away when he enters the room, and he tries to sit at their table, and they're like, oh, that's cool. Like, you know, almost like in high school. And
it's
awful. Mm-hmm. He's an outcast.
He is an outcast, And so I guess... Looking forward, because I want to do this just a little bit here. What do you think the do you think Crosshair is going to eventually join back up with his brothers?
Yeah, I was thinking. I thought for a second he was going to send him. The commander was going to send him on a mission to find them, or you know, on a mission that will eventually lead him to meeting up with the others again, and that's probably going to lead into a whole inner conflict.
I'm doing this again. I'm on another mission again to prove my loyalty to find these guys. Whatever.
Yeah.
I think though the only reason that couldn't happen is because in the last episode,
They think they died. Yes, so much. Yeah, true. Maybe he's gonna send him on a mission and they just meet.
Yeah,
there because they happen to be there.
It could be coincidence that they come across each other.
Yeah.
The other thing that could happen is maybe Admiral Rampart, there's a few maybe episodes of him, of Crosshair proving himself, going with these different commanders. Because he's like, I don't have command of my own unit. But if he can earn his command back, that's when I think Admiral Rampart might say, hey, this is off the books. No reports on this. And good soldiers follow orders. So if you're ordered to change a report, if you're ordered to do these things, Wilco didn't do that. So in episode one, he wouldn't change the report.
Right.
So he's shot by Rampart.
Right.
If the order is to execute this, mm-hmm. you know, this governor at the end of episode three here, Crosshair did that.
Yeah.
He's just like, no question, order followed, yeah. done. Not thinking yeah. about it, done. This is what we do. This is our purpose.
Yeah.
So if Rampart sees that, he very much may task, as you said, may task him with finding the Bad Batch. I just think it'll be separate from, he'll have his own command back.
Okay.
That'll be the difference. Because mm-hmm. right now, I don't think he wants to risk sending this other clone trooper yeah. after the Bad Batch. And he's like, sir, the Bad yeah. Batch are eliminated. Yeah. Why would we send, you know, he doesn't want that known. Not right. at all. Nowhere right. officially.
True.
So he's going to send Crosshair on a private, separate mission, maybe. Yeah. That's just my thought. That's just mm-hmm. my thought. You ready for some other big predictions?
Yeah.
Because the one floating around, all of the Clone Force 99, they each have their own thing. Like Hunter, there's some other things with Hunter that people think he might be able to do that we haven't yet seen.
Mm-hmm.
Crosshair, you saw how ridiculous his shooting was, right? Yeah. His sharpshooting this episode is crazy.
Yeah.
You got Tech, Wrecker, and so on. They all have their special abilities. The big thing out there is that Omega, her special ability, why she's so special, why they sent two bounty hunters to try and get her in season one, why Nala Se, who's at Mount Tantus, might want her back, she very well could be force sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And they may mm-hmm. have found a way to manipulate her midichlorians or increase her midichlorian count. People are probably screaming at me right now going like, midichlorians, that's not a thing anymore, blah, blah. It is a thing, and it is in episode one, and Anakin had the highest midichlorian count that we've ever seen.
Is that like a measurement of
like your force sensitivity? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's in your blood. So Qui-Gon Jinn does blood work on Anakin.
Oh, they think they can genetically manipulate how much you can get, like if
yeah.
they figure out how to do it with Omega.
Yeah. Okay. So I mean, the thing is with Palpatine, his whole goal is to find a way to transfer his essence or his who he is into a host for immortality.
Right.
He and his master Darth Plagueis have been trying to figure out for a long time, how do you preserve, how do you gain immortality, yeah. right? So it makes sense that obsession was there with Darth Plagueis. It is what he used to bait Anakin into, you know, trying to save Padme, right? We can discover this power together. He will continue secretly the operation on Mount Tantus to first go into cloning and figure out how to clone a host that can basically deal with his power, his force sensitivity and stuff. I think what you get into in some of the older comics and even some stuff in Legends is that when Palpatine would try to acquire, even in canon now, when after Return of the Jedi, when he tried to acquire a new host, that host would not be able to contain his immense power.
Yeah.
And they would decay and they would rapidly... Yeah. fall apart, essentially. And so he couldn't find a body that could do that. That's why he wanted Rey. That's why Rey was so important. She's from his bloodline. Mm-hmm. He wanted to transfer himself with her, right? She could, you know, yeah, take over her mind and use, like, basically like demon possession sort of kind of thing, right? And so if that host can't handle it, then it's not good. So he tries to genetically engineer that.
Yeah.
And a part of that, I think, will be Omega. If Omega was someone that Nala Se could have used to create a force sensitive, to actually say it's not just nature, it's not just the laws of the universe, she actually created someone who had an increased force sensitivity, that would be wild.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we've never seen them be able to pull off or do, because it's a magic, you know what I mean? It'd be like taking a wizard in Harry Potter and saying, hey, we know how to make a wizard and witch. Like, we know the right, you know, combination of genes or whatever it would take to genetically engineer that.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And Star Wars, you know, it's fantasy, it's high fantasy, but it's also science fiction at the end of the day, too.
Right.
So that element is really interesting. But yeah, we'll have to see where that goes. I think Omega very well might be force sensitive. Or at least there's this connection to Mount Tantus and a potential Grogu or other force sensitives. You've got this the Jedi Gungi, the Wookiee. So I think, when it's Omega gets more experiences and she goes around, we're going to see her age up. We're going to see her maybe do something spectacular. She's learning all these things from Tech, and she's learning from each of them and will take on a lot of their skills. But I think there's something, even if it's just not like people probably misunderstand and think that force sensitivity could be like, oh, so you can all of a sudden, you know, she can start like levitating objects and wield a lightsaber. No, no, no. Force sensitivity, even like what Leia shows.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, Leia is force sensitive, flat out, big time, and and could be trained. If you're trained, you can take that further, right? So Omega probably just has some level of force sensitivity that gives her good intuition. And she can figure out like, oh, that good gut feeling that she can follow, seeing things or having maybe a way with animals or a way with politics, whatever it might be. Who knows? But she has some sort of enhanced abilities.
Yeah.
And we got to figure out what those are. So that's the big one coming down the line, I feel like. That's the big prediction. So, yeah. Okay, friends. Hey, that was our discussion just on Bad Batch Season 2, Episode 3, The Solitary Clone. And that is the return of Commander Cody. So wild, and it was cool. Good to see that. Good episode. Now, friends, new on the podcast, something new that I'm bringing up. We've just been working on this. I wanted to announce it today here at the end. So thanks for sticking around. The Patreon's live. I have the Patreon set up. It is live. We have the tiers in there, and so we're good to go. We are making like a shirt for our Jedi Council. We've got that going. So the Jedi Council will be meeting like once a month. We'll try to get them together and discuss the events and the state of Star Wars. So if you're interested in that and you want to join the Jedi Council, check it out. The prices are in there. I tried to make it like affordable, but just something fun that when we invest our time and we get people together and we set up the stream and all that kind of stuff, people come in and can share their thoughts. Your voice can be heard on the podcast. So that's the highest tier. And then we've got extra episodes that I'm going to be dropping myself, some deeper digs that I'm going to be getting into and dropping those for our Jedi Knight tier. But for $1, this is, I think, kind of funny. For $1, you can initiate, you can execute Order 66. So it's just a way to support the podcast. I think it's kind of funny. So if you guys, if you want to support the podcast, it's a great way to do it. But yeah, extra episodes over there, behind the scenes stuff, different things. And Lottie knows this, at some point I'm going to be working on a special droid at some point. And I know the droid run, the parts runs are coming up. I'm not doing it yet, but there will be vlogs. There will be things to see there over the years. Be working on the droid. Also the Death Star panels. Something I've always wanted to create for our studio. So my half of the studio will be decked out in Star Wars stuff. Hers will be very different. but both going to be fun. And I can't wait to kind of get that all decked out and show you guys what it's like. So we'll be doing vlogs and behind the scenes stuff there and different things. But I really like the Jedi Council aspect of this, where we can, you know, kind of get together, and I've got a cool shirt that I've made for folks that I can send out after you've, you know, been on that tier for at least 2 to 3 months. Then I send it out, so that way I have enough to kind of cover the shirt and send you guys one. It's great. So getting the merch store up and running, all that good stuff. And we're back to firing out shorts like every day. Every day I've hit a short. Like this year. And so we've got a lot more to come. Breakdowns on the Bad Batch, breakdowns on speculation coming up on Ahsoka, The Mandalorian, all of it. The Rebels rewatch, we are going to be doing that in a big season 2. We have 2 more episodes to go. Mm-hmm. Literally, Lottie just saw an epic episode with Darth Vader, and we're going to break all that down. We're going to get into all the things that she saw with Kanan and Ezra and everything that's happening there. So we're blitzing through that because I really cannot wait any longer to just discuss the events of season 3, 4, and Rebels and how it ties in and all the tie-ins here and the things that we could see going forward.
Yeah, because every time you're trying to make shorts or talk about anything in Star Wars, you're like, I can't tell you.
Yeah, you can't hear this. Yeah. I was playing a live stream the other day, and by God, they started talking. Every live stream that you go to, Star Wars, they are referencing it because they know. They know, like I know, like you guys know. Like, that is where the tie-ins are going to be. They're drawing from, this is Dave Filoni's character. He created Ezra. He created Ahsoka.
Yeah.
These are his characters, Master and Apprentice. I mean, it's like, it's go time.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we just saw the Lothal Jedi Temple again, and oh, ancient. It is like sacred ancient temple. And we'll get more. But
I wish you could all see how pumped Ezra is at 5:40 in the morning.
It's so stinking early.
I love it.
Yes. And by the way, too, since it is so early and we got our coffee breath going, we're just barely waking up here. I will be doing something probably on the weekend. If you guys have a transmission, I would love to get like 2 to 3 transmissions and just be able to read them like well polished, edit them up, and have my thoughts sort of just at the end of the week or something this weekend. So if anybody's sitting here and it's Wednesday, Thursday, and you've come to this and you want to send in thoughts on the Bad Batch, please do so. Even if it's just like 1 to 2 lines, really nothing major. Whether it's on Instagram at Star Wars Hangout 77, I check that quite often, or then the email. StarWarsHangout77@gmail.com. Like every week we've got Star Wars to go through, guys. Every week we've got stuff. Probably going to be doing, maybe when we get to episode 4 or 5, somewhere midway through or at the end of January, we're going to do a big Star Wars discussion. I'm going to catch Lottie up on a lot of things in terms of like the leaks on the Ahsoka series, the leaks for, we'll title it. We'll make sure it's tagged. People know that there's potential leaks and spoilers. Yeah. And we'll do some speculation depending on where we are in Rebels. It will depend on how far I go with that. But I want to do a big breakdown because there's tons of news.
Yeah.
Tons of news, tons of things happening. That's also a spot where on the Jedi Council, I want to be able to bring in people, you know, and just chat about what is going on. So if you're interested in that and you'd like to start doing that, you want to come on the show, it's easy to talk to. And like Lottie will be kind of managing on the side, just sort of like comments and stuff. And we might go live. We could just record it. We can edit it up. It's all good. But I'd love to have other people hear your guys' thoughts and discuss things in like a round table in the council, you know? Council cool. freaking business, you know? So
we need mugs.
We do.
Council mugs.
Council mugs. Let's go. We already have council shirts. So, and the shirts just say, they're really cool. They actually say, I'll try to post a picture on Patreon later today when I get to school. I'll post it on my lunch break or something. The what do they say? They say council member.
Yep.
But then I've got the Star Wars script, like the coded script. I've got that in, you know, where it says Star Wars Hangout and some cool stuff there
really
too. So,
cool.
Yeah.
You did a great job.
Hey, and you helped me on Photoshop, so we had to get different.
Well,
we're learning. We're learning as we go. Also, Lottie is really upping the art game, and so we may have in the future some really cool, cute stuff that you guys might like. And she's my little, you know, my little artistic Jedi apprentice. And it's cool things.
I want to be. So
you are, and I think it's like, I can't wait to show people some of the stuff that you're working on in secret. In our training sessions, you're working away. It's great. So, hey, friends, I hope you guys have a great day. It is early. I've got to get off here and get rolling. But appreciate you again.
Teach some younglings.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, teach some younglings. I got to go teach some younglings. My God. Anyways, but yeah, just want to say thanks to everybody. And again, links in the description down below for the Patreon. And we'll kind of go from there. Send your thoughts in. Again, please send your thoughts on these episodes, speculation going forward. The predictions are great because I can use those at any time. So even if you hear this late and you have a prediction, send me your prediction. What do you think? What do you think is happening in Bad Batch? I'll make a episode out of it and feature you guys on that over on the YouTube. So, all right. Thanks so much. You guys have a great day. And as always, may the Force be with you.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.